have given unto them, them being his disciples. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? He says, I have given unto them, what? Thy word. Thy word. Do you love the word of God? If you're on the rock, you cannot be shaken. Jesus is the rock. Jesus is also the word made flesh. I have given unto them thy word, and the world has hated them because, here it is, they are not of the world. You are not of this world. You are not of this world. Get that. Even as I am not of the world. So as Jesus was not of the world, you are not of the world. If you're in Christ. Verse 15 says, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. And we can pray that over ourselves, over our family, our church, that we would be kept from the evil. Verse 16, again, he says, they are not of the world. You are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Set them apart through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. So we're sent here. We have a purpose. We're supposed to be here. But we're to be walking on the water of God's word. Instead of walking on the water, we're really walking on God's word, just like Peter getting out of that boat. We are set apart, sanctified by the truth of God's word. Hallelujah. In other words, we have nothing. Nothing in this world to be afraid of. Let nothing in this world shake your bring fear into your life, shake your faith. We are from heaven. We are citizens from another country. So I just want to encourage you this week, when you're hearing all kinds of crazy stuff and conspiracy theories and lies and the media saying this and that and all the predicting all the bad things that are going to happen. Don't be obsessed with all that stuff. Don't consume that stuff and let it, you know, concern you. Get in the Word again. If you feel yourself getting into concern and fear and worry, get back to the Scripture. This is a great chapter to read, John 17. We are not of this world. We have the truth. We have the Word, which sanctifies us and set us apart from this world. And we have eternity to look forward to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, I just want to encourage you with that word from the Lord. If you have your Bibles, though, we're kind of talking about something different, but not that different. The last time I spoke was at 9 o'clock, so you guys didn't hear my sermon, but you can go back a couple weeks. I was talking about how the enemy, the devil, is under our feet, okay? And so I encourage you to go back and listen to that. It talks about the origin of our enemy. He is Lucifer. He is a fallen cherub, an angel that was, you know, completely pure and holy and created by God, but he rebelled. Pride was in his heart, and he turned against God. And so I talked about that. But what we realize is that all around us we see a war, and what, you know, the things that we see happening in the world are just a small piece of a much bigger, much more ancient war between the Lucifer, the fallen angel Lucifer, and God. It's not even between heaven and earth. This goes back way, way before that. The devil was already fallen by the time we see him in the Garden of Eden. He was the enemy of God by that time already. So we don't know how long he's been around, how long this war has been waging, but we ask the question, why do we see evil in the world? Well, we understand when we understand the story of a fallen angel waging war and rebellion against God, taking one-third of the angels against God, then we can start to begin to understand why we see evil in the world. And of course, we understand that the garden, the temptation in the garden, and how really Satan became the god of this world. He's actually called the god of this world. Why? Because Adam committed high treason, handed this planet over to the enemy of God. That's what he did. That's what sin did. Sin gives the enemy authority in our lives, but also in the world. And that's what Adam did. Adam was supposed to be ruling this world on behalf of God, subjecting this thing, dominating the world, subjecting it to the will of his heavenly Father. And of course, he failed. He handed it over to the enemy of God, and we see the consequence today with all the wickedness in the world today. But understand, we are in a war. Now, us personally, if you're in Christ, you've been born again, you've been washed in the blood, the war is over for you. The enemy has no power over you. Hallelujah. We've been set free. We've been given authority over the enemy, over the devil and all his works. The Bible says, Jesus says, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Glory to God. That's some good news. The devil can't destroy your relationship with God. He can't actually hurt you. We are eternally safe in the hands of God. And that's what really matters. And when you get that, you have a sense of great courage. You feel bold as a lion, because you've become the righteousness of God in Christ, the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, you're the righteousness of God in him. And the Bible says in Proverbs, the righteous are bold as a lion. We're not afraid of him anymore. I guess when you are under sin, you should have been afraid of him. He had domination in your life. He had a right to your life because of sin. Sin opens the door to the enemy. But now that we're in Christ, the sin has been washed away. He has nothing to touch you with. You are without condemnation. The devil cannot touch you anymore. Now, he can try to tempt you, get you back into sin, and that'll bring you into condemnation. And then that's kind of a cycle where you sin more because you're under condemnation. And so we have to know our victory in Christ. We have to know the work of the cross, that it was completed. Jesus wrought the victory. He not only wrought the victory over sin, he also wrought the victory over your enemy, the devil. And so what Jesus did in his ministry, he went around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And then he tells us that we're supposed to do the same thing. We're supposed to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, cast out demons and things like these. These are things that are part of the believer's mandate, the Great Commission. It includes preaching the gospel and making disciples, but there's more. There's laying hands on the sick. There's speaking in new tongues. There's casting out devils and so forth. And so this is the mandate for the entire church, not for the pastor or some apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, not for some guy on the, it's for the entire church. This is our mandate. All of us should be enforcing the will of God, doing the works of Jesus. Praise God. We're in a war. But personally, the war has already been won. So this world is going through because they don't have victory. They're still in the war, and we see the consequences every day when we look at the news. But for us personally, the war has been won. You know, and it's so sad that so many Christians don't realize that we have authority over the enemy. They let the enemy just run roughshod all over them. You know, and we're going to talk about examples of the things that we deal with. Some pastors, some theologians say, you know, the devil's just a metaphor for bad things that happen in your life. But the Bible is very clear. He's a real literal creation. He has a mind, a will, emotions. Same with demons and so forth. They're quite literal. And of course, Jesus told us to cast them out. In James, we're told to resist the devil and he will flee. This is what all of us should be doing. How do we do that? Well, we have to understand we have the authority to do so in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The name, we just sung it, the name above every name. We've been all given that name. But do we recognize when the enemy is working, when the enemy is trying to infiltrate our lives, our minds, our families, our bodies, our children, our church, or whatever? So that's all part of our growth in Christ. Resist him and he will flee. Not ignore him, not pretend like he's not there. But at the same time, don't get in a ditch. You know, some people just, they wake up every day, think that they're going to call down the heavens and shout at the heavens and somehow affect the devil. No, you know, and they think everywhere there's a devil and everything that happens in their life, it must be the devil. And that's totally wrong too. We don't want to get out of one ditch and get into the ditch on the other side. And one ditch, you just ignore the devil. And the other ditch, everything's a devil. No, you know, try to get down the middle of the road here. And by the help of the Holy Spirit, you'll discern, okay, this is an attack against my family. This is a spiritual attack. I mean, I think all of us could probably say we felt at times a spiritual attack against our bodies, our minds, or our families, our children. Can y'all say that? Can y'all? Okay. I just make sure you're on the same page with me here. Well, unless it's just all me, then I'm preaching to the wrong crowd. So, you know, some people are like that. Some Christians are just like, hey, pastor, you know what? I got the devil on the run. And the pastor goes, good. He goes, no. He's right on my heels. He's coming after me, and he's almost got me. You know, no, we have victory over him. Praise God. Hallelujah. He is under our feet. We're the body of Christ. Amen. Genesis was the first prophecy that Satan would be crushed. He would harm the heel of the seed of the woman, but his head would be crushed. What does that mean? It's a mortal wound. You know, my first job, I worked at a bait shop, and we used to rent out boats. So we had a lake, and we had boats all along the lake, and we'd rent boats. And I was the bait boy, and I would get bait for people. But something that I took upon myself as a job was to also make sure there's no snakes. I didn't want our clientele to be stepping on snakes. So what I would do is I'd get myself a nice paddle, and I'd move the boats out of the way and see if there's any water moccasins down there so I could just whack them, right? I'd crush their head. And you know, you don't try to hit them in the body. That does no good. You crush the head. And that's what Jesus has done. Hallelujah. Crush the head of Satan. Well, let's say it this way. In our lives, personally, being in Christ, he's been crushed. But there's also coming, we still see the world is all out of order, all messed up. So there's still coming a crushing, a final blow, in other words, what I'm saying, where this thing's going to get wrapped up. And that's what I'm talking about this morning. The final blow is coming. Jesus, well, let me read it first, and then I'll give you. I'm reading out of Romans 16, verse 20. It says, and the God of peace shall bruise, that means crush, Satan under your feet shortly. Hallelujah. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. So, the God of peace is coming. The God of peace shall bruise, that means crush Satan soon. That's what I want you to see this morning. This thing is coming to an end. We're in the last days. I think that's evident now with the craziness in the world that we live in. But Satan is going to be crushed soon. I could just see Jesus with his foot lifted up, just ready to just crush him, just like me with that paddle crushing the water moccasins' heads. Man, he's just about to crush Satan under our feet very soon. And what that means is all this stuff will be over. There's coming a new heaven and a new earth. When Jesus returns again, he's going to rule on this earth for 1,000 years. Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. Satan will be loosed again for a short time after that. And then comes the final crushing blow. And I might even read it. Now I probably won't have time. But if you know your Bible, you know that Satan will be thrown in a lake of fire forever and ever. We'll never see him again. Lake of fire to be tormented forever and ever, along with the false prophet and the Antichrist. That's the three that we see in the lake of fire over there in the book of Revelation. But that day is coming. You know, and I want you to see that. Sometimes we get so bogged down with the concerns of our own life and the craziness in this world, and this world is so crazy. So crazy. So we need to see Jesus is about to crush our enemy. His heel is raised up right now and about to make that mortal blow to the enemy. Again, the world that is around us, there's an ancient war that's from before man, long before man. I don't know how long, but I think it's a very, very long time. And so there's coming an end. You know, we talk about the end time, and we naturally think of about it in relation to mankind, the end of mankind's rule and setting up Jesus to rule on earth. I think it's even bigger than the end time of man. I think it's even the end time of the angelic. Why? Because all the angelic will also be judged on the day. There's a great white throne judgment, and man will be judged. Every man's name not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be thrown in a lake of fire as well. Okay, so that does deal with man, but it also talks about Satan being judged. That tells me that the angelic This is the end of the angelic as well. In other words, however long they've been around, they could have been around for millions of years, eons, who knows? But they're also going to be judged at the end of this thing. So there's more than one end coming to an end here. And we're at it. We're at that end. We're coming to the very end of all these things. So we see this rebellion of a fallen angel. He's the one that in Isaiah 14, he did the five I wills. He rebelled against God. He was in perfect. I mean, he was created in perfection. I talked about that last time. He was created perfect, and even down to his very heart. He was the closest to God that any creature could be. So pure, so perfect. But then one day, rebellion. Rebellion because of pride in his heart. He decided these five I wills, it's in Isaiah 14. He said, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mountain of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Here it is. I will be like the Most High. He wanted it to be worshiped like God. He wanted to exalt his, he had some measure of authority and power, obviously, but he's saying, I want to be so high, I want to be like God himself to be worshiped. And so that's the same lie that he feeds humanity, that you can be worshiped. You're like a God. You ever hear that stuff out there? New Age and all that nonsense. You're a God, and unfortunately, even in Christian circles, some believe that nonsense. So, but I want to focus today on the imminent defeat of our enemy and our part on enforcing that. Luke 10, 17, I covered this last time and I don't have time to really get into defining all this stuff. I'm just going to jump right to verse 19. Luke 10, 19, Jesus says, behold, I give unto you power. Talking to the disciples, I give you power. That word in the Greek is exousia, meaning authority. So it's not just force or might, like me hitting a snake with a paddle, an oar, you know. It's talking about authority. He gives his church authority, power, to tread on serpents and scorpions. And he's not talking about literal serpents and scorpions. And we'll, as we read, we'll see that. And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Glory to God. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Verse 20, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. Don't rejoice because you have this great authority over the devil. Okay, don't rejoice in that. That the spirits are subject to you. So there it is, spirits. He's not talking about snakes and scorpions. It's very clear he's dealing with spirits that we have authority over. But it says, don't rejoice that the spirits are subject to you. We'll come back to that. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Praise God. And that's really something to rejoice at. That's what we got to keep our focus on when craziness starts happening in our personal lives or in the world. Our names are written in heaven. Nothing can change that. The devil cannot change that. We've been washed in the blood. We are clean. We are sanctified, holy before God. There is no sin. There is no condemnation. Glory to God. So that's what we rejoice in. However, we do need to be aware that the devil is subject to us. We're not subject to him. See, when we were in Adam, before we got into Christ, before we were saved, we were in Adam, and so we were subject to the enemy. See, sin gives the enemy authority in our lives. So we were subject to him. But now the sin problem's been dealt with on the cross. We are no longer subject to him. He is now subject to us. The word subject means to arrange under, to subordinate, to put in subjection, to subject oneself, or to submit to one's control. He is subject to us now. It would be just ridiculous for a Christian to be afraid of the devil when you understand your position in Christ. We're in the body of Christ, and so we're far above him. He is under our feet. I like what one preacher from over 100 years ago wrote this. A.B. Simpson said this, Jesus, talking about Jesus, he did not promise the disciples power first, but the authority first. And as they used the authority, the power would be made manifest and the results would follow. So this was the secret of Christ's power, that he spake with authority, prayed with authority, commanded with authority, and the power followed. The reason we do not see more power is because we do not claim the authority Christ has given us. The adversary has no power over us if we do not fear him. But the moment we acknowledge his power, he becomes all that we believe him to be. So we see craziness going on, and we make the devil this huge giant monster, and God just becomes smaller and smaller in our lives because of fear. Because we don't get the word in us. We feed too much on the stuff of this world. You know, so many become news junkies, and you would be very dangerous to be a news junkie when there's so much lies in the media, so much going on, especially in the coming months. It's going to get crazy with the stuff they're going to say. You know what? Get in the Word. Let God be God. The devil's the itty-bitty. There used to be a little song like that. The devil's itty-bitty and God's a great big God or something like that. I don't know if you remember that. But it's true. The devil is so small. He is no match for God. Not even close. There's a form of so-called Christianity called dualism where, you know, you get the idea that there's this yin and yang, like God and the devil are equal powers that are forever going to fight for all of eternity. That's complete nonsense. They are not even close to equal. God is the creator. The devil is the creation. And in just a moment, he'll be gone. It's easy for God to just deal with him. But why is he still here? Well, again, he actually has a right to be here because man gave him authority. And he has a right to be in your life if you continue to give him authority through sin. If you have unrepented sin, you're like, well, I just like it. I'm just not going to stop it. Well, you've opened the door to the devil, and don't be surprised when he comes and sleeps in your bed and hangs out with you. How would you like to sleep with a snake in your bed? Just that's what I want you to keep in mind when you're playing with sin. Yeah, it's not pleasant. It's not pretty. Not a good thing. Playing with sin opens the door to the enemy, but get this, you can repent. Hallelujah. And once you repent, you have given the devil nothing. Nothing to touch you with. And now you can use the name of Jesus with power and authority and boldness, and the devil has to leave. Too many times, you know, the Bible says resist the devil and he will flee. But people say, oh, he's not leaving. I've resisted him. Have you? Number one, have you dealt with the sin in your life? Make sure you've repented. But number two, are you really resisting him? Are you really resisting him in the name of Jesus? Again, sin says, with your mouth, you might be saying the right thing. Get out, devil. But with your lifestyle, you're saying, come on in my bed. Right? Resist him and he will flee. So if he's not fleeing, you haven't really resisted him. But he will flee. Absolutely true. Nothing can, he doesn't have the power to resist anyone that uses the name of Jesus. Jesus was given the name above every name, like we've already sung. The name above every name. He got it. Well, number one, he was the Son of Man. He was a man. He was God Almighty who took the form of man, who added humanity to his divinity. So he was both God and man. So what did that mean? He had the same authority that Adam had. Adam was given authority or dominion over the whole earth, Genesis 1:26. So he had that authority, but then he had an authority that we didn't have, which is the authority that comes with being sinless. See, again, sin gives the devil authority. Well, he didn't have any sin. He was pure, righteous, holy, sinless perfection. So, based on that, he had the authority of Adam, but he also had the authority of being completely sinless so the devil couldn't touch him. He could delegate that authority to his disciples. So he sent his 12 out, and he sent out the 70 saying, go and preach the gospel and do what I've been doing, you know. And they were casting out devils and raising the dead and doing all these things based on the name of Jesus. And they were just shocked. They were just shocked that they had authority. Hallelujah, to cast out devils just like Jesus did. They were like real excited. So that's what Jesus said. Don't be excited about that. Be excited that your name's in heaven. But the point is, this is how he got it. So we have it the same way. It's not based on how good we've been, though if we're living an unrepentant lifestyle, you're saying with your mouth, devil, get out, but your lifestyle, stay here. Once we've repented, now we're back into a place or a position to say, get out, devil, and he has to get out. See? And it's not based on how good you've been. It's based on the authority in the name of Jesus. We don't tell the devil to leave in our name. No, we say in Jesus' name. When we pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Not based on our goodness, right? Hallelujah. It says in Romans 8:37, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Glory to God. I love that. More than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Well, how do you know the devil? We're to conquer the devil. We're to dominate the devil. Again, don't get crazy and think everything is a devil. Don't get me wrong, but the Holy Spirit will help you discern. Hey, this is you're dealing with a spiritual problem here. There's spirits coming against you, and a way you can know that is it seems to be like a persistent thing. Like it's just never ending. The devil's just kind of hounding you. Then you know this is we can get into trouble when we make bad decisions. That's one problem that we have, and we also have the problem of the flesh, which always is wanting to do its own thing. That's another place that we have problems. But then there's this third area. There really is spiritual forces arrayed against us, and we just say, "Shut up and get out in the name of Jesus." So I don't have time to get into all this, but I have a slide. Hopefully he has the slide. It talks about the Bible has all kinds of a list of spirits that you can find. And you don't have to use this list. You could probably look one up on the internet if he can find it. But I'll just list a few of them off. There it is. Doesn't quite fill the screen. It's different. All right. There's spirit of jealousy back in Numbers. There's spirit of lying, familiar spirits, perverse spirits, spirit of whoredoms, heaviness, which is like depression, infirmity, deaf and dumb, fear, pride, bondage, talking about addictions, you know, antichrist, error, divination, spirit of death, seducing spirits. And all these seem to be under the heading of unclean spirits. So there's just a whole slew of these things that you can study on your own. And again, but don't get crazy and think everything's a spirit. I'm just saying, realize if you know there's something that spiritual, a demonic attack coming against you, you know, read what the Bible has to say about it. Be aware of it. It's things you can study on your own, these scriptures. But we have the name. Glory to God. We don't have to put up with it. And that's the problem is the church has put up with too much for way too long. We need to use the name that's been given to the church. The crushing of Satan's head is coming. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Hallelujah. Death is going to go away forever and ever. You know, I think we probably all lost someone in our lives at some point, but I look forward to that day where there will be no such thing as death. It won't exist ever again. Never separation, never death, forever and ever. Can you imagine that? No such thing as death. Where every one of us has this very clear and vivid truth that we understand we're all going to die one day. And it's a foreboding thing in a sense, like we don't want to die. But at the same time, we have overcome death. In Christ, we are out of this body and into the next, out of the presence of this body and in the presence of Jesus. So we've already overcome death in that sense, but there's coming a day where there will be no such thing as death, no more sin, no more sorrow, no more pain, a new heaven and a new earth. Again, the crushing is about to happen. It says in Isaiah 25, I'll close with this, he says, he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away all tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord has spoken it, and it shall be said in that day, Lord, this is our God. We have waited for him. He will save us, and this is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Praise God. Death will be gone. The enemy defeated. His head crushed. Hallelujah. Forever and ever. He will go to a lake of fire along with the Antichrist and the false prophet. All the demons will be gone also in that lake of fire. Hallelujah. We look forward to a new age where Christ Jesus reigns forever and ever in peace and joy. Hallelujah. But until then, we have a work to do, church. We got to get this gospel out. We've got to preach this gospel so other people can come in and enjoy the freedom that we have. And I just want to call out to anybody who's not made Jesus Lord of your life to pray with me right now, and I'll close with this prayer. And that includes those online, wherever they went. They're maybe there or over there. I don't know where you guys are looking at me with. There's cameras everywhere now. All right. So we're going to close with prayer, and I'm going to ask whoever's watching me online to also pray this if you've not made Jesus Lord of your life. So let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank you that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. The sin problem has been dealt with. Hallelujah. We repent right now and turn from our sin and say, Jesus, be my Savior. Jesus, be my Lord. Forgive me, Lord, of my sin. I repent and give you my whole life. I hold nothing back. I want your will to be done in my life. Forgive me. I believe Jesus died for me. He rose again the third day, and I put my faith in him. And because the Bible says that we are forgiven, we have now become the sons of God, if we pray that. And so we pray that right now in thanksgiving that you heard our prayer, that we're now the children, the sons of God. And now we've been given authority over the enemy. We praise you. We thank you for our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Give God praise.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for God's word and how when we read it, we're encouraged to know that God is greater. He's greater than anything we might face in this world. And the word of God said, greater is he that is in us, hey, than any evil dark force in this world. So I get encouraged when I read God's word and I'm reminded of that. So I thank Pastor Taylor for that message this morning. Just want to thank all of you for coming today, whether you've joined us here or online. Thank you so much. And if you haven't had an opportunity to give, please do so, so that we can continue to spread the word across the world. Amen. Thank you all so much for coming. Be blessed, and you are dismissed.